Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I mean, anytime you're not out there, if you're in the training room when the rest of the guys are practicing, you're losing valuable time. Valuable time with your coaches, valuable reps with your teammates, the ability to build the trust that we're talking about. It's not just the coaching staff having trust in you doing the right thing over and over, but it's also your teammates.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's Ben Johnson, Bears head coach. And we got a couple derisive texts from people.
What about?
About us approving of him watching tape from whack job offenses in the college
What does
level.
That mean? We pointed out that Ben Johnson talked about using his time off to potentially watch some college tape.
Yep.
We asked a legitimate question about what might that mean.
Yeah.
Watching tape of USC and Lincoln Riley isn't exactly a radical thought.
Well, no, I think that we're looking at it differently than these people that are deriding us.
Okay.
We're looking at it like when you do this for a living, one of the things you want to do is have fun doing it and watch different ideas, and then maybe something clicks with what you do.
When you're Ben Johnson and you do this for a living, when you formulate game plans, when you study offensive schemes.
Yes.
Here's what I like about it. He's a head coach. He's reached the pinnacle of his profession. This is the first time he's ever entered this phase of the offseason as a head coach. You know what he's doing? What he said he's going to do? He's going to grind like he did as an assistant.
That's right. That's all.
He's not going off and saying, okay, I'm going to have my wait staff bring me all the caviar and champagne I can handle and sit by the pool and fan myself. No. He's going to grind some tape.
That's nothing wrong with doing that. That's nothing wrong with that. Hey, and we're delighted to get out to the hotline. We've got Kevin Fishbane. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. He, of course, covers the Bears for The Athletic. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. You know, I also prefer grinding tape to caviar.
Yeah, that's good. But you're that kind of guy, Kevin.
You
show up when you work.
I think tape is delicious. who am I? In the off season, I used to read different books. I would always try to improve myself. I used to try to come up with different ideas and different things when I was a younger, hungry journalist. And I remember one time reading a book about from Alex Haley, the guy who wrote Roots. He wrote a book about writing and how to get things from sources, etc. He had a thing in there.
Self-improvement
type thing.
Makes sense.
But he had a thing in there about how, you know, he used to, when he was interviewing someone, he would go back and he would talk to like a grammar school coach or a grammar school teacher. and then get some information. And then when he was talking to the person for the first time, and this was when he was a reporter, he would say, hey, I talked to Mr. Schwantze from sixth grade, and Miss Clancy said this, and the person, you would watch them kind of melt as you talked about some influential person earlier in their childhood, and that you could break through somehow with people that way. And I've done it as a sports writer, and it was always fairly successful. So I think there's ways of getting better by breaking down tape if you're Ben Johnson.
First of all, Mully, you're giving away my reporting secrets. I love a good grammar school teacher interview. I will say, as far as books go, once you started that story, I started worrying about what was the year that Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky all read the same book, like the whole Ryan Pace gave everybody some leadership book, and we thought that was going to be the thing that would help the whole team take off. But like, I mean,
Football for Dummies.
I will say this: we haven't heard there haven't been many gimmicks.
There haven't been
this spring.
That's good.
It's been football. It's been straight football, and that doesn't mean we won't get the motivational speakers or the
right
or the book club, or you know, maybe a ping pong table in the locker room. I don't know if they'll do that, but think, you know, you always hear about those things when it comes to football teams and camaraderie and whatnot. But Ben Johnson's just about ball. I mean, he has a good mix of just being serious with us, but also, you know, cracking a joke here and there. And these practices, I know, you know, it's funny last week, guys. I know there was the day that they were throwing some passes to offensive linemen. You know, it took 5 minutes.
Right.
And I immediately saw some readers on our website complaining, you know, this is not what they're supposed to be doing this time of year. You know, this what are they doing goofing around? Ooh. It's okay to mix that in. But I think that it's been a pretty refreshing setup that Ben Johnson's had for OTAs and minicamp.
Well, Kevin, as you point out, he's a football coach, and football coaches have little tolerance for players who aren't available. And I wonder if you interpreted yesterday's message from Ben Johnson as we did. It seemed like it was a direct address to Luther Burden III, who has been unavailable for most of the offseason workout portion of the practice time, and the soft tissue injury, which has kept him from being available. How surprised were you that Ben Johnson was that direct, or is that what you're coming to expect from him?
Yeah, that was candid. I mean, that was like he wasn't afraid to vent his frustration, because talk about a guy that you'd love to have out there. So I, you know, it's hard, David, to know if that's just Ben Johnson is just frustrated about something that neither of those guys can control. Or do we find out down the line that, you know, this is a lingering soft tissue thing that they're worried about is going to be a problem for Luther Burden throughout his career? We have no idea at this point. But, yeah, I think this is somebody that values practice reps. I know the big story yesterday was that Caleb Williams was there, and I think Caleb deserves a lot of credit for that. It wouldn't surprise any of us if Ben Johnson was like, no, we need you there. Like, you
right.
have to be there.
Right.
And he knows that for Luther Burden, if this is someone who's going to step in and be the slot receiver on day one from what they want to be an explosive offense, it doesn't help that he just missed a month of practice. I'm going to use Karan Amagaji as an example. I'm not comparing the two players, but Karan Amagaji's career might have looked a lot different if he was able to participate in spring practices last year and summer practices last year. Who knows? Like, you need those guys, you need those rookies out there to get those reps. So maybe it is a footnote in Luther Burden's career that we forget about once he's out there catching passes and racking up the yak. But for right now, if you're Ben Johnson, you want Luther Burden on the field.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Kevin, when I read your story this morning, I appreciated the angle that you took, because obviously, hey, you know, Caleb Williams is there. We know he's in town because he went to the tight end's wedding over the weekend, Cole Kmet's wedding. So that's great. And it's great that he's there along with Austin Reed. But Rome Odunze had said he was going to be there. We knew that. What I found fascinating is the guys you list off. There's like 40 people that are there. Josh Blackwell, the corner. Elijah Hicks. You might need a lot of Elijah Hicks this year. The safety. Zach Pickens is in a battle to make this football team, the defensive tackle. I think it's a good thing that he showed up at this portion of the voluntary, again, mini camp. Doug Kramer is there. That's smart on his part. Bill Murray, and you mentioned Amagaji. Those are people that aren't necessarily required to be there, but if you want to get playing time, if you want to be a part of that is a great thing. FaceTime with coaches. Smart of them to turn up.
Yeah, it made a lot of sense for all those guys. Pickens and Hicks specifically had missed time earlier in the spring for injuries. So for them, you know, they were healthy. It's like, well, do you go home for the summer or do you show your coaches what you can do for a couple of days? Because both those guys are going to be battling for roster spots. Right. You know, last year they did the same thing where they did the veteran mini camp a week early, and the last set of OTAs was for rookies. And last year, it really was just the rookies. I don't remember anybody outside, maybe a couple first-year practice squad guys who are out there. So to have even somebody of the caliber of Josh Blackwell, who just signed a contract extension, out there, I think that's a good sign for what they're building here. And yeah, for those players, I think it's been drilled into their minds, like, hey, if you think you need the reps, like, get them. This is a new scheme. You need to know what you're going to be doing when training camp gets started, because there's not going to be a lot of patience. There's not going to be a lot of time to get moving. But you mentioned, again, we're talking about bottom of the depth chart guys, Bill Murray, Doug Kramer, me fighting for that final interior backup spot. I know David has his depth chart up on a whiteboard up in his office where he's moving Zach Pickens around to see how he can make the roster. But, you know, unfortunately for Zach Pickens, injuries have really hurt him, hurt his career. You talk about, you know, we talk about these Ryan Poles third-round picks. That's another one that just, at this point, hasn't really panned out.
Kevin, yesterday, J.K. Dobbins agreed to terms with the Broncos the day after Nick Chubb joined the Texans. Both signed one-year contracts for $5.5 million, essentially. That's not a lot of money for a veteran running back that might help a team out in the ground game. I'm a little surprised the Bears weren't in on either guy. Or if they were, they didn't make it real competitive, because that's not a real expensive price to pay for depth at a key position. Why do you think they stayed away? And do you look at that as a vote of confidence for Kyle Manungai?
It could be Manungai, David. It could also just be DeAndre Swift. I mean, they paid DeAndre Swift a lot of money. Yep. They owe him a lot of money this year. This is somebody who, if you go back and look at the games the Bears won last year, and shoot, even the Washington game that they should have won, he made big plays in those games. And obviously, when you look at the other free agent running backs from that class, they were all a lot better than DeAndre Swift. And Swift was the first one to acknowledge that it was not the year he was hoping for. But I wonder if they just feel like with Ben Johnson that there is, that like they can get more out of Swift, and they can also, and then to bring in my own guy, better compliment him with Manungai. And they've talked openly about Roshan Johnson just not being used properly last year. He's battled injuries. If he can stay on the field, maybe he's a better fit, or they utilize him better, that being Eric Bieniemy and Declan Doyle and Ben Johnson. So, you know, it could be all those guys that they just feel better about. So, I thought J.K. Dobbins would have been in that tier, David, of the type of running back they'd feel comfortable bringing in. I think Kenneth Walker's still available if they want to go that route. But it's been this long. You just kind of wonder if they're just okay with who they have as those top three.
I got to be honest with you. It surprised me that they didn't pursue anybody, or that – like, I got a hard time imagining them going into training camp with the running back room as it currently is constituted. I feel like they're short a player at that position.
Well, if they bring in somebody right now of that level, I guess the question is skill set. What's he going to do for you? Who's he going to kind of replace? Who's going to take? Who is he going to take carries away from? Because Roshan Johnson's kind of a unique guy, and he does a lot of special teams work. He doesn't need to be the number two back. So, do you want a bruiser? Do you want somebody who can be in between the tackles? And I will say this, guys, in kind of in agreement with both of you about the running back position, for a team that was, you know, apparently very interested in Ashton Gentry, very yes. interested in Travion Henderson,
yes.
to go from very interested in those guys and then not bring in anybody else except for a seventh round pick, I get it. I think there is a little bit of a question mark there. There's a disconnect, because if you show that interest, it's going to make everyone think, well, you got clearly you need to add somebody at some point before late July. And look, late July is sometimes when you see those veterans added. So I'm not going to rule it out. But if we're just going to look at right now and what they've done, you're thinking, okay, maybe they feel better about Swift and Roschon Johnson than we think they did.
Kevin, this guy could be the most ridiculous thing I say all morning, but it's early. Ozzie Chipillo looks more equipped to handle the left tackle spot, having grown a beard that thick, that fast. And he looks like a grizzled veteran now. And he also talks like one. But I think that in all seriousness, the Bears seem to trust his ability to learn fast and maybe step in and compete with Braxton Jones. How surprised would you be if Ozzie Chipillo emerges as the starting left tackle?
I did have to go back, David, to make sure that beard was new, and it was. And it, it wouldn't surprise me if the guys heard a lot about him having this baby face, you know, and being like, right. All right, I'm an NFL player. I need to show these guys that I can man up and join the crew. Like it would not surprise me if he's day one starting left tackle. He is this coaching staff's pick, you know, this GM's pick, obviously, in the second round. So they have to feel good about him being a left tackle down the line. I don't want to completely rule out Braxton Jones. I think it's fair to see what he can do. You know, I liken Braxton Jones sometimes to what Charles Leno was for this team when Leno was at his best. And I think when Braxton Jones has been healthy, he's been consistent. He's not a guy. He's not obviously a Pro Bowler, but he's also not somebody you really have to worry about at times over there. So, like, again, I don't want to just completely say he's out, but you know, you guys know the best ability is availability, and Ozzie Chipillo just got a full set of OTAs in minicamp to show what he can do, albeit without pads. But Braxton Jones, without pads a couple summers ago, showed this coaching staff that he was worthy of being the starting left tackle. Like, in OTAs, he showed that. So it's not like under this GM, under this personnel staff, a guy has come in, a rookie, and shown enough without pads to earn that spot. So obviously we want to see what happens when Jones comes back and what Chipillo looks like when the pads come on. These guys can bull rush him and all those things. But from a technique standpoint, from the way he handles things, the maturity level, he seems to be a lot of what you want out of that position.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. I also think, looking at Ozzie Chipillo, he does not look like the kind of guy that will disappear when the pads come on. It looks like he's already fairly half giant, and you put pads on a guy like that and he's going to look pretty big and strong, and if he's got the beard going, well, David will run.
Look out.
But what about a guy like Ruben Hippolyte? You know, it's always interesting to me when you talk about undersized guys and guys that rely on speed, how good they can look right up to the point where the pads come on, and then some guys can tend to disappear. I'm not saying that's the case with him, but, you know, I forget the name of the dude. Somebody from ESPN said that he was the most highly overtaken player in the draft, that he shouldn't have gone as high as the Bears took him. I know they like him, and I know they like his speed, and I'm sure that will show up when the pads come on, but he does not look like a very imposing figure. How do you think he will be when they finally get the pads on him?
Well, you know, we talked about not adding at running back. You look at the linebacker position.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, behind the top two, it's Hippolyte, it's Noah Sewell, who hasn't been able to stay healthy, and it's Eamon Ogbong-Bamiga. Hope Jeff Joniak was listening to that.
Easy for you to say.
Look at you.
And he's, you know, he can spill in if he needs to on defense, but he's there mainly for special teams. And that's really it. So, I mean, that tells you that taking Hippolyte in the fourth round tells you what they think about him. Does that mean they're right? We don't know.
Right.
But, you know, I think the thing about Hippolyte is for a while he looks like just your classic college linebacker that racks up a lot of stats, makes a lot of big good plays, but he just doesn't have the size to catch the eye of NFL teams. And then he runs that 40. And you know, look, our draft analyst, Dane Brugler, kind of admitted, like, if that pro day was at a different time or if Hippolyte did that at the combine, like, he would have had a different ranking in our draft guide instead of being a guy who was way, way, way down the ranks. So I'm very interested to see what he looks like, as you said, Molly, when the pads come on. But he did have that kind of reputation in Maryland of still being a thumper, even though he was just kind of a speed guy. I think it's going to be a size question, but you know he's going to run with players. You know, the thing with the guy Ruben Hippolyte is you don't have to worry about him until you have to worry about him. right? Like, as long as Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards stay healthy, you know, Hippolyte's not going to be on the field very much.
Right.
But you still need that guy if he's going to be your starting Sam to be somebody that you can depend on and rely on. And obviously, as Ben Johnson said, it looks like Hippolyte's got off to a good start.
Kevin, 30 seconds. As the Bears depart and won't reconvene until training camp, who's the backup quarterback?
Man, I'll go Tyson Bagent, David. I am not one to doubt that guy. You put him in a competition, and I think he's going to go after that job and still find a way to win it. It's a great problem to have between his skill set and Keenum's experience. But shoot, I mean, I think that guy has proved a lot of doubters wrong since he got into the NFL. And at this point, at this juncture, I'll still say that Bagent wins that job.
Great stuff.
Yep. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it, buddy.
Take care, guys.
That's Kevin Fishbane, covers the Bears for The Athletic. Interest.
Does a nice job.
He does.
He writes well, and he's out there all the time. Yes. That's a good insight into the OTAs. The Bears say goodbye and won't be back until training camp.
I am very interested in the guys that turned up. I mean, there's an awful thing to say. I didn't know that Zach Pickens understood his situation. He needs to be there.
Well, there's no real excuse for not being there.
Yep.
If you have something to prove.
Right.
Show up. That's the number one thing in any sort of profession. It's more than half of the thing is showing up.
It doesn't seem like a really heavy requirement to turn up. But you're right. It's a big thing. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the thing that never goes away is the ball strike and the swing decisions and that's the on base stuff, getting on base for ahead of three guys having wonderful seasons. So that's always been there, and when you add power, it just makes the lineup and the pitching decisions for the other guy and the matchups for the other team really difficult.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Craig Counsell, of course. Always fun to
talk about Ian Happ.
Thoughts. Yeah.
Yes, Ian Happ.
Opening it up, and that changes the way you pitch everyone. And if he starts hitting home runs 2-in-1 game for the first time this year, and he's done that plenty
of
times in his career.
He's on a heater right now.
He's on a heater.
Because he came back.
Four homers in 8 games? But, I mean, he's got 3-2.
He's got 4 home runs in his last 6 games. And he's... has an 800 slugging percentage over the previous 28 plate appearances. This is somebody who is getting it done at the top of the order, and he's setting the stage for everything else to happen after him. And it's good to see, because he got off to a really good start, and then he had the oblique strain, and his timing was off. And I think that When he came back, he wasn't the same kind of hitter, but it looks like whatever was missing has been rediscovered.
Yep.
And Ian Happ is an asset at the top of the order. I still wonder long term. I mean, you don't change your mind based on one game. He's going to hit wherever he is in the lineup. I think it helps to grind out at bats at the top. But if PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, ends up leading off, you can't go wrong with either choice. I do think over the course of Pete Crow Armstrong's career, he's going to end up being a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that. I think eventually he will get there. I think, though, it's good usage of Ian Happ. I mean, if we're being honest, he's the kind of guy that can grind out at bats, and he will see pitches, and he will do sort of traditional stuff that you do as a leadoff guy. I don't know that PCA – I think PCA – and I don't mean this negatively, but he might be more selfish of a player than Happ is.
Well,
and that's not a negative. Yeah, I'm just saying he might be more interested in jumping on something.
I think more aggressive. I don't like the term selfish. I think that he's more aggressive.
How about self-centered?
No.
I'm totally
that's
joking.
That's a negative.
I'm totally joking.
Better there. No. I think aggressive. Or less selective, perhaps. Ian Happ is going to be disciplined right now at this stage of his career, more disciplined than PCA is. And that's not a knock on either guy. It's just their mentality at the plate. Pete Crow Armstrong is a good bad ball hitter, too. He chases, and right. He is so aggressive because ball's out of the zone, he's able to square up and barrel up, as they say, and he's having a lot of success this year specifically in doing just that. So both guys are really having good seasons. The Cubs scored 8 runs last night. They needed that, frankly, because they had been shut out twice in the previous 7 games, I believe, and they needed an 8-run outburst, and that's what they
yes,
got.
Yes, and he needed that. Happ needed that to get you to let him lead
to
off
back
for,
off?
To just back off for
back
a second.
Back off.
You needed to see that.
I needed to see that. I'm glad. I'm glad that he did that. I feel a little better about the Cubs 1-9. Also, you know what makes you feel better? I know we'll get to Dansby Swanson in a second. But Matt Shaw in the field, he made a play. That barehanded high hopper, tough bounce. He makes a barehanded grab. Then he makes the throw. It's a bang-bang play at first base. And he has defensively been even more impressive than he has been at the plate. And that has removed the doubt and answered a really key question about third base for the Cubs.
This is day number 8. Yep. Ground ball to third. Shaw bare hands and throws to first to get him. What a play by Matt Shaw. It's about the only way he could have made it. And what a throw he fired to first.
Excellent play by Matty. He made a big play in yesterday's ball game coming in. And now this ball's chopped. He comes in and bare hands this ball about waist high and throws a rocket across the diamond to get the out. The only chance he's got of getting this out is to bare hand this ball. So very good choice and a great play.
So you did a great job of describing that. But then when we hear Pat and Ron, like they're better than you.
I'm no Pat and Ron. I'm not.
So you know what? You got the Hall of Famer.
I know, I got it.
Smoothly telling you what happened. And then you got a guy that played the position in the major leagues really telling you.
So I'm no match for that.
Well, I mean, you did a great job.
Thank you.
Honestly.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me.
I saw it in my mind's eye, but then I heard it, and it was there's the painting. Look
first of all,
beautiful painting.
Pat is an artist, and his artistry with the language is something that speaks for itself. And when Coom goes hockey nickname on you, when Matt is Matty, you know that he has done something special.
Yeah.
I'm no Coom either. Coom admires best. If you notice, Coom does a great job at describing everything, but when Ron Coomer sees a good play at third base, he gets a little bit
jacked. Definitely. And like I said, there's gravitas there. And it's I loved your description of it. But if he had really gone hockey on that, it would have been Shawzy.
Maybe. You're right. Matty, Shawzy, whatever the case is. I'm just glad the young man's making plays, and he's getting hits, and he has been an asset at third base. And you can't really – it will come in more clear focus the closer we get to the trade deadline when we're posing scenarios and we're having – speculation about who the Cubs are pursuing.
Who was the guy?
It won't be a third baseman.
Who was the guy? Was it the Colorado third baseman? Who was
Ryan McMahon?
You're not going to see that happen.
No. Okay? Gosh, I hope not.
Take a marker and go to his name and just scratch it out.
Scratch it out.
Not on the list anymore.
And not a moment too soon, because as the White Sox played the Astros, you're reminded of what the Cubs gave up at that position to get Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
But Isaac Paredes is having a pretty good year. 14 home runs down in Houston, 39 runs batted in. And so
it's kind of weird because he was an all-star when you got him, but he wasn't an all-star here, and then he's out of here.
It didn't go well. He was expendable. He was deemed expendable. Much of the reason he was deemed expendable, there are two reasons. One, it helped get Kyle Tucker in town, and two, Matt Shaw was ready.
Did I read this correctly? And I think I did. This was a couple days ago. Matt Shaw was the first third baseman to hit a home run for the Cubs this year.
Yes, Saturday. When he went deep. When he went deep, it was the first time a Cub third baseman had homered this year.
And there have been six of them.
Yes, but he had a previous home run, but it was a pinch hit homer.
Right.
So it didn't really count.
As a third baseman.
It didn't count.
Yeah.
But when Craig Counsell has penciled in third baseman into the lineup, and it's been a long list. You got Lopez. You got Brujan. You've got Birdie. You've got all the guys. Matt Shaw. Who else has played third?
There's six.
There's six third basemen.
We're missing someone.
Yeah.
Workman.
Oh, yeah. Gage Workman. Whatever happened to Gage Workman?
I don't know. Where's Gage Workman?
That's a good question. Yeah. He had such a good spring. He made the trip to Japan. He was supposed to be here all year.
I know.
Nonetheless, Matt Shaw had the first home run by a Cub third baseman Saturday against the Tigers at Comerica Park, and he ripped it. That's when you knew that he's feeling comfortable at the plate, because he's a guy that this was out a line drive to left field into the stands, and he is looking more and more comfortable by the series.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. Like, that's supposed to be a power position. And remember when Paredes—
In the old days.
Well, I'm saying, but when Paredes came here, it was like there was something with his power that was all— there was some pull to his power.
He was a dead pull hitter.
Yeah, and it didn't work at Wrigley or something. What was
I don't know why it wouldn't work at Wrigley.
I don't know. Maybe the wind.
That seemed like they're overthinking it. Well, we did have the weather patterns last year that were not conducive to home run hitting.
They put a sign up or something, and it blocked out the home run.
Silly question. The Cubs hit five home runs on Saturday.
Yes.
And Craig Counsell's answer to that was, we really didn't do much else except for hit home runs.
Yes.
Last night, they jump on Mick Abel, the young phenom for the Phillies. He gives up three. The Cubs hit four overall. And you look at, well, yeah, they did some more, but are the Cubs becoming too feast or famine for some people's
liking? Well, you keep saying that, but David, I believe they're like unbeaten when they hit two homers. There was some statistic out there, if they can crack two of them, then, you know, just pop the champagne bottle, get the cork open, and enjoy your night.
Okay.
Right, right. Dustin?
So,
isn't there
so nothing to
I
see
heard
here?
That stat as well at the end of the game. Very. Thank you. I couldn't. I don't want to regurgitate it wrongly, but it's something like
it
in
was.
The neighborhood of like 18-2 or something.
It was
along
something
those
crazy.
Lines.
Yes, it was last night. That's right.
Okay.
Again, you know, you're kind of at that hour. And I know it's
why
still
I asked
early
the question,
for most
though.
Humans.
It's why I asked the question.
But I mean, they, like, when they feast, they are feasting is the answer to that question.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a negative.
But it's almost like a college basketball team and some NBA teams these days. You know, you live and die by the three.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs are living and dying by. Here was a perfect example. They've got a little action going, I believe it was in the fourth inning. Bases are loaded, and the $500 million man is up at the plate. And he strikes out and looked bad when he struck out, Kyle Tucker. So, like, you know, that was a situation. Now, later on, to his credit, when they had their little rally in the eighth, he drove a ball in between first and second.
Yeah, he did.
And got it done. But before that, when they were trailing or tied, he could not get the job.
He had a terrible swing at a 3-2 pitch, and he was fooled. He was fooled. It was a breaking pitch. The kid made a great execution, and it looked like Tucker was just caught off guard. That's going to happen. You don't have to refer to him as a $500 million man.
Well, he did that, and he did it derisively.
He did. It's not every at-bat's a referendum on Kyle Tucker staying or getting what he's worth.
You're clearly physically
responding. When you're a $500 million guy, you need to come through in that situation.
He comes through. This guy's having a good year.
You literally are like shaking as you say this.
I know, because he triggered me. Like,
he totally triggered you.
He did it on purpose.
Yeah.
But Kyle Tucker didn't have a great night, but a day earlier, he was the only guy, you know, who was, he hit a home run the night earlier. Where was that in your stats?
He's a pretty good player. Hence,
very good player.
Hence the $500 million.
Sorry.
Well, prisoner of the moment, right? Isn't that right?
Yeah, I know. Throw away the
I am somebody who can live and die with each individual game. Yes, I can. It's allowed.
Well, I think that's the way Major League Baseball kind of is now. If you're following your team closely, you can do that. It's a long season.
But I do think that some of our conversation yesterday was about twice getting shut out in a week and how the sky is slightly falling. And we got
it was slightly falling yesterday.
But then they score the runs. They have the explosion on offense.
I like it.
And now we're happy again, and everything's never mind, and here we go.
No, I think you're day-to-day. You're analyzing what happened the previous game, and what happened last night was the Cubs responded to having a prolonged relative cold streak. They responded last night the way they needed to, and frankly, the way they need to today. You against a really good pitcher, lefty in Lizardo, he's going to be out there, and the Phillies want to win this series.
You're coming home 5-4 or 4-5 on this road trip.
If they do win this game today, they win the series. And I think, okay, the Washington, and I said this earlier, Washington aside, when you play October teams like the Tigers and the Phillies and you split with them, you can accept that on the road.
October teams, I like it. 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Robert Jr., high in the air, deep it goes to left. It is gone! Luis Robert Jr., the return of La Pantera for Robert Jr., his 6th home run of the season, and the Sox retake a 3-run lead.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Is it me, or does John Schifrin seem a little off the hook when Stoney takes a day off?
A little more animated?
Yeah, it was a very exciting John
Schifrin.
Mean
with when Steve's not in the booth? Gordon Beckham filled in last night, did a nice job. Dan Plesek has done it before.
We don't often get the Pantera from him.
We haven't heard it much this year. I guess maybe partly because also Luis Robert Jr. hasn't done much to warrant the nickname. Was that what he was referencing? Maybe La Pantera is back, that kind of aggressive approach and deserving of a nickname?
I just feel like he was more shot out
of the cannon. Did you say off the hook?
I don't believe I said
did
off
you say,
the hook.
Did he say he was more off the hook?
Did I say that?
I think you did. That's what the kids say.
I don't think I follow the kids at all.
If he's a little more animated, there was something that last night was a night to get excited if you're a Sox fan. It really was. It was a great night for the White Sox baseball, La Pantera. I'm not going to try to imitate him. No,
come on, let's hear it.
No, I don't want it. It'll come back and live forever.
Pat, Ron, Cops, baseball.
La Pantera.
La Pantera. Next.
He was locked in. He had a good night. Six rookies contributed. Yeah, they all had a good night.
Can I say something else?
Yeah.
I mean, and we'll talk to Ozzie in a little bit, but I just want to say, not only did he hit a double and knock in a run and then hit a three-run homer, but he caught the ball.
Made a great catch.
Several different times. He made
the diving one at the end was great.
Was huge. But I, honest to God, I think he made like three seriously good defensive plays in that game where you were like, ooh, hey.
Molly, that's why when Chris Getz talked last Friday about there being a market for Luis Robert Jr., not unlike what Luis Robert Jr. kind of portrayed, I believe him. I know he might be trying to build up the market and try to keep things positive, but I also think that last night reminded you just how valuable he can be to a good team.
Yeah, I'm always skeptical of a general manager trying to trade a guy who claims he has a market.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, no offense
to
anyone.
Of course.
But I do think he's a seriously good defensive player. If he could get – he needs like a week or 10 days. Let's have a nice 10-day stretch where he's doing – where he's playing like he played last night. And I'm not sure he can do it.
I'm not sure he can't.
Because
I mean, we know that he's capable of doing that.
But he has said, well, why would anyone ever want to trade for me? Or something like that.
He's lacking confidence.
And he also said something along the lines of, yeah, you know, I had 3 days to try to work on my game, but I don't believe in anything they're making me do.
But that's a problem from the shoulders up. He needs to – regain some confidence, and maybe a night like last night will help him take a step in that direction.
He was standing tall in that post-game interview, wasn't
he? Did you see this post-game interview?
Yeah.
What stood out to you about that? Because
He stood out to me.
He was standing.
There was he was almost like
Connor McKnight.
He just looked good for himself.
Luis Robert Jr. and Billy Russo,
the
interpreter, translator.
Billy looked short next to those two guys.
Yes, and
those
I think
big, strong men.
Well, here's what also I noticed. Connor asked good questions.
Yes.
Luis Robert Jr. did not need an interpreter for the question.
Yes.
But he answered to Russo, who interpreted the answer. But Luis Robert Jr. understood what Connor was asking.
Yes, he did.
And so that was indicative of somebody who really does understand more of the language and just maybe is hesitant to want to speak it himself for fear of being misunderstood?
I think this is fantastic stuff. So he in the course of one game where he doubled and homered and made good defensive plays, he not only seemed taller, he not only seemed smarter, but he seemed more literate than ever. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't
no,
think.
No,
I don't think
not,
it's cause effect.
I'm not joking.
But
I mean,
for the first time,
seemed more.
Well, look, let's face it. Even whether it's on this station or just his profile, he has been limited by his inability to speak the language.
But,
so when he is on a post game interview like that after a game that he had, I did notice that Connor asked the right questions.
Yeah.
He didn't need anything interpreted. He understood what Connor was asking.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just a familiarity with Connor McKnight, which is understandable because Connor's out there all the time with Burke Fletcher, but when he directed his answer, it wasn't so much at Connor, it was to Billy Russo, who told Connor what the answer was, and it was actually not as bulky as some interviews that need to be interpreted can be.
He was good.
Yeah, he was good.
He was good on the field, and he was good in the interview.
But let's face it, that last night was all about, okay, the Sox won, La Pantera had a nice game, but Grant Taylor's debut was electric.
Well,
I
don't want to downplay Grant Taylor in any way, but I thought they did. I thought Will Venable, tip of the cap, sir. I thought that he put him in
nice
the
hat.
Thank you, buddy. A friend of mine got it for me. Look at Brandon's wearing his. I thought Will Venable put him in the perfect position.
He did.
He brings him
Smart.
Into the game. 7, 8, 9 hitters.
4-1.
You're up. You got a 3-run lead, and your star pitcher, guy what do you call it, the kick change guy,
Shane Smith,
who has taught himself this new pitch. You're now a change of pace from that, and you're the power arm guy, and you come in for the last three guys. I loved the way
well-managed
they
game.
Handled
it. Was a well-managed
him.
Game.
They put him in the right spot, and he did the right stuff.
No doubt about
Beautiful.
It. And Grant Taylor delivered.
He did.
And he lived up to the hype,
yes.
And he got his first 1-2-3 inning.
I'm here for him.
First of many.
Ozzie Guillen will join us next. We will talk to Ozzie, and we'll run all that by him. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.